Thanks so much for joining us today right here at Life Church. We have an exciting program for you today, and we believe God can help transform your life as you listen to His Word. Listen, we're a church that believes in God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and building real relationships. If you want to know more information about Life Church, go to our website, lifechurchag.com. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We hope you enjoy today's program. All right, would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning, God bless you, wherever you are. Yay, you. Whoever you are, we are so grateful that you watch us online and you're a part of our online campus. God bless you. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Let's hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart in my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right. We're going to jump right into a new series. I've entitled it Defined. And in the spirit of last week, we were talking about being equipped. I wanted to lay a good foundation of who you are in Jesus. If you don't know who you are in the Lord, if you don't have a proper definition of what the Lord has done in your life, then you're not going to understand the motivation behind being equipped. If you think you're some small, kind of meaningless person here on the earth, then you don't understand why God is telling you, be equipped because I have great cause for your life. I have great meaning and purpose for your life. And so before we get into equipping tools and weaponry and all kinds of great promises of God to equip you to live and to do, it's important that you know who you are. Can I hear an amen on that? It's very, very important. For some of you hearing a message like this, you might have heard this many times, but it'll be a refresher to you. For some of you, this is the first time anyone's ever going to truly help you understand what happened to you when you gave your life to Jesus, because something great happened the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's who we want you to see today. Not to be led with the eyes of your flesh, but to ask God to give you spiritual eyes to see today what it is that we're talking about. So the idea of defined, the word define in definition actually means, some different ways to describe the word define, means to explain the meaning of something. Explain the meaning of something. To fix or mark the limits of. Like you're defining the boundaries, maybe in a piece of property. You're defining, you know, the rules on how something's to be played. You're making specific marks for the limits of. And then to make something clear, to make something clear. You know, if you can see those, even those simple three definitions, you can understand the value of understanding who you are, defined. Like if you don't have a definition of what it means to be a believer, or what it means to be a Christian, or what it means to be what the Bible calls a new creation, if you don't understand the definition of that, then you're not going to understand the meaning behind it. You're going to hear words like a new creation. You're going to hear words like you're a Christian, you're a believer, you're the body of Christ. But if you don't know the definition of it, then the meaning is lost to you. It's just words. Do you understand that? Until you understand the meaning of a word, then the word is lost to you because you have no understanding of it. Or to fix or mark the limits of. If you don't know the authority that God has given you, and the influence that God has given you, you may live underneath limitations that don't fit in the definition of who you are. You are much greater than the definitions that the world tries to put upon you. You are much greater than the limitations your past tries to put upon you. You are much greater than the limitations that any human being who's ever spoken negatively over your life or told you you will never be anything, you'll never do anything, than those limitations. You're greater than any limitations the world may put upon your ethnic group, your income level, your person of education. Do you understand? Those are all physical limitations, but when you step into the kingdom of God, you expand in your capabilities because it's you times Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And who you've become. You're no longer just you. You are you in Him. and so you increase. And so it's important that you understand your definition, because you need to know what the new boundaries are, the new limits upon who you are. And the cool part is, the devil can't tell you your limitations. The devil can't tell you where you're not allowed to go. If God says your foot will tread on that mountaintop of influence, doesn't matter if the mountain wants you there or not, that is now your boundary marker. Amen. And you can go all the way to the top, because the Lord will bring you there. And so there's all kinds of reasons for understanding your definition. You know, I think about the phrase or the idea of definitions. I think about the Webster's Dictionary, or any dictionary that you might think is exceptional. It's fine. I think a dictionary is this big book, and then there's all these words, and then a word gets like two sentences in the whole book that then tell you its definition or its meaning. There is a sentence that has been going on in my heart for probably about a month or two. And that's kind of where the catalyst of this series has come from, and it was this. And I'm still unpacking the meaning of this sentence. And so hopefully as we explore this over the next 3-4 weeks, it'll begin to make more and more sense for you as well. But basically, going back to that idea of a normal dictionary where there's one word with two sentences that can capture its definition in those two sentences, you're much greater than just one word. And it takes the whole dictionary to explain what's happened in your life, to help define and clarify and show and describe and illustrate what's happened in your life. So you're not like one word with two sentences that kind of captures everything. The Lord kind of showed me like this book here. It takes the whole Bible to help define you. Does that make sense? It takes, and I know right now you're like, tell it to me again, so I will. It takes the whole Bible to help you see who it is God has made you to be. The Bible, we look at it and say, oh, that's all about God. My friend, the Bible is talking to you about you. And it's important that, yes, you see God in the Bible, absolutely. But the story of this Bible, the message of this Bible in every page is not just who God is, but who God has made you to be. Every testimony, every story. You understand, stories even in the Old Testament about Daniel in the lion's den, that's not about Daniel in lion's den. That's about you when you face lions in your life. You understand? Stories about David and Goliath. That's not about David and Goliath. That's about you when giants come into your life and you're a child of God. And what a covenant person can do in the face of a giant. You know, even Jesus coming on the cross. Jesus didn't go on the cross for him. He did it for you. It's your story. It was your salvation he was buying. It was your forgiveness of sin that he was paying for. Are you understanding? This book is teaching you and describing and illustrating who you are in him. And it's powerful because you're so much more than one sentence can contain. It takes the whole Bible to help you get the full grasp of who you are. You know, people like to capture Christianity in one sentence. And they think, oh, I've got it. I've got a sentence. I got a bumper sticker. It tells me exactly who I am. You know, you hear phrases like, oh, we're just sinners saved by grace. Do you understand? That's a piece of what you are, but it's not the totality of what you are. Yes, you were a sinner. You are saved by grace, but do you understand that life in Jesus is a whole lot more than just being forgiven from sin? Amen. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to help all of us in this series, to help you understand your new boundaries, to understand your meaning and your purpose. You are Christianity. If Christianity to you is just about being forgiven of sin, your vision is far too small of what God has actually accomplished in your life and what he came and paid to do. Christianity was not about just forgiving you from sin. It was about transforming you into the vision of God for your life. Now, forgiving you from sin needed to happen in order for you to be able to become the vision of God for your life, the definition, the meaning that God has for your life, the purpose that God has for your life. Amen. And to achieve the goals and the aspirations of God in your life. So if you think Christianity is just forgiven of sin, that's just one sentence in the dictionary that explains who you are. You need to read the whole dictionary to grasp who you now are as a son or daughter of God. And I just want you to understand that you're a whole lot more than meets the eye. When I was a kid, I used to watch Transformers, and that was kind of the robots in disguise, a whole lot more than meets the eye. That's you. There's a whole lot more. You may look like, you know, a truck on the outside, but on the inside, you're this awesome, mighty warrior. Amen. Optimus Prime, there you go. Wow, I just heard someone say, wow, he went there. The need for definition. The need for definition is important because it brings clarity of vision. To know the meaning of something, to know the boundary line, the drawing of the clear lines of what this thing is, what it's capable of being, bringing it into clarity. The purpose of having a proper definition is the idea of clarity of God's vision over your life. What does God mean when he looks at you and calls you son or daughter? What does God mean when he says you're his righteousness? What is God meaning when he calls you his family and his body and his temple? What is God, you know, the hard part about communication, this is something I'm accomplishing in here today, is trying to help paint the picture of what's in my head into your head. It's one of the hardest things a communicator does is because we know what we see and we're trying to help you see what you don't see. That's what this Bible is trying to accomplish. The vision of God for your life to help you see what you do not see naturally by yourself. And so it's God explaining his vision to us so that hopefully in some way, shape, or form, we can begin to understand with clarity the image that God sees when he looks at you, the image that God saw when he was on a cross. So the idea of definition and getting clarity of vision is very important. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. It says this about vision and having clear vision. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. The Message Bible says it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they will stumble all over themselves. But when they attain to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When you don't know the vision, you can live below the vision. You can allow things into your life or allow your life to be a part of things that were never meant to be upon your life. There are addictions and bondages that the devil would love to place on you as a believer. And because you don't know the vision of God for your life and the definition of God for your life, you don't know that you already have authority over the enemy, that you already have authority over those bondages and addictions. You don't know because you don't have the vision of God for your life, the definition of God about who you are as a believer, that the Bible says, see, it's another page in the dictionary, says sin no longer has domination or dominion over you, which means if that temptation comes in, you do have the authority and the ability to say no. You cannot say the devil made me do it. And you cannot say I couldn't resist. Yes, you can. Because you're not the old version of you that just picked up a little bit of religion. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's time for you to start seeing who you are and what you are capable of doing. But you see, if you don't have a vision, you begin to perish. The you that Jesus paid for never gets the ability to rise and to live. It perishes, and you live a subversion of what Christianity was meant to be in your life. Are you understanding this? But it's all because we don't have a clear definition, a clear vision that what was in God's mind. And so we throw off restraints or we stumble all over ourselves or we let the devil take things that don't belong to him, not because he has the power to do it. It was just we didn't access our authority to make him stop. We have to learn the vision, the definition, what God sees, what God's designed and said about you as a believer, what Jesus came to purchase and pay for. It's difficult for us because people do not naturally come up with the same conclusions that God came up with when he looks at us. In the natural, it's hard for us to see what God sees over us because we're still stuck with natural, fleshly eyesight. And when we look at the mirror, we believe we're the same person. When you look in the mirror after you've given your heart to Jesus, it's difficult for us to realize in totality what has actually happened because your skin is still the same. Your hands are the same. Your face is still the same. Your body is still the same. Even your circumstances are still the same around you. Some people mistakenly think that when they give their life to Jesus, everything externally changes immediately, and it's like running through the fields of daisies and tulips, and you eat Skittles all day long, and unicorns are dancing around you, and you're just sliding down a rainbow by the end of your day. That is not true. That only happens on Thursdays, but it doesn't normally happen throughout the rest of the week. Are you understanding this? When we look at ourselves, we have the difficult challenge that we still see ourselves in the eyes of the flesh. And so when we try to have a vision for our lives, we always revert back to what we can see with the eyes of our flesh rather than with the eyes of God over our lives. See, when God looks at you, he's not looking with eyes of flesh. He's looking with truth, and he's seeing you for who you really are in a work that he's truly accomplished inside of you, that is resident in you. It's actually occurred. It's actually happened. But you just have not awakened to it yet. Are you understanding that? And so for us, it's very difficult because we naturally think about deficiencies. We go back to the eyes of the flesh. We look at our financial situation. We look at our gender. We look at our nationality. We look at what the world says we're allowed to do or capable of doing. We look at our past to tell us who we are today. Your past does not tell you who you are today. The Lord is the only one that has the authority to tell you who you are today when you've given your life to him, because he's purchased you from that past. And as far as he's concerned, you've died to that past and you're a brand new individual in him, and your destiny is not linked to your past. Your destiny is not linked to what's happened to you in your past. Your destiny is linked to what's happened to him. Are you understanding? In Christ. Do you understand that? When you step out of that old way of thinking, listen to what I just said, because that was a really big comment, and I feel like you didn't catch it. It was, you are not defined by what's happened to you in your past. Your definition comes by what's happened to Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? So your definition is not linked to what happened. Your definition is linked to the stripes he bore on his back. Your definition is linked to the fact he came in the flesh. Your definition is linked to the fact that he took on death, hell, and the grave. Your definition is linked to what's happened to him, the victory that he's purchased. You understand? Your definition, your limitations, your defining moments, your clarity, your meaning, your purpose is not linked to what has happened to you. So you might look at your past and see the pain and the brokenness and the burdens and the hurt and see the things that people have done to stunt your growth and to keep you from winning, or who knows what's happened back here. But I'm telling you, what's happened back here does not define you. You are everything you are because not what's happened to you, but because of what's happened to him. You have access to everything that's available to you because of what's happened to him. Amen. Amen. So it's about clarity of vision. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2, and I know many of you are new to your Bibles, and you didn't even know there was a book of Habakkuk, but it's there. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2, talking about vision, the Bible says for us to write the vision down and to make the vision plain, put it on tablets, so that the runner can run with the vision. Lots of churches have used that verse before to put on a wall, like our church needs a vision so people can know what we're about so that we can run and all that stuff. But I want to use it in a different context today in talking about vision. God has a definition, which I say is clarity of vision over your life. And God obeys his own word. Isn't that awesome? And so what does God do? God writes the vision down, puts it in the Bible, okay, and makes it plain so that you can run in who you really are. But in order to help you understand, God doesn't just write it down. Like I'm telling you, this is your dictionary. This is you. This is your definition. This is who you are. Every story, every promise, every covenant in here, this is all talking about you. Yes, it's talking about him, but it's talking about you and what you are in him. You understand, he was everything already before he ever came. The only reason he came was to help make us something. How do I say this? Like, we see the champion parts of Jesus in here where he defeated the devil. Do you understand? He never fell below the devil. We did. And so the story is not him gaining his authority back over the devil, because he never lost his authority back over the devil. This is a story of him giving us our authority back over the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I keep going back. As much as you think it's all about Jesus, it's actually about what Jesus made you. He never sinned. It's not about him getting victory over his sin. It's him getting victory over your sin. See, you have victory over sin whether you know it or not. It's there to be accessed. Amen. Victory is there over the devil, over bondage, over death. That's why you don't have to be afraid of death. You already have the victory. And so he took the vision and he wrote it down, just like he said in Habakkuk. He wrote it down. And then in order to make it plain, he took the word and he put on flesh and he dwelt among us so that we could see what the definition of what the word's been telling us we were going to become, we could see it with our own eyes in Christ. And I know what I just said is a far stretch for some of you who are new to church, but I hope you understand that when you see Jesus in the New Testament, that Jesus was there, yes, to die on a cross for our sins, but he was also there to show us what we were to be after we become children of God. He was also there to show us what it looks like to have authority over the devil in this world, to show us what it looks like to be in right standing with God as a righteous person walking in a normal world, helping and seeking and saving that which is lost and doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. He's there to show us. Jesus even looked at us and said, the works that you see me do, you're going to do, and you're even going to do greater works than what I've been doing. Why? Because he wasn't going to make us some separate group or species. He was bringing us into who he is, and he's recreating. He's the firstborn among many brethren like unto himself. Do you understand that? We are recreated into being his body. He's the head. We're the body. We're not two separate species. You understand? We're the same who we are. As he is, so are we in the world, the Bible says. You're supposed to be his hands extended. You're supposed to continue his work and commission. Are you understanding? Not as some other creation, but as the new creation recreated in Christ Jesus. You're to look and demonstrate and walk. So Jesus, in being the Word made flesh, remember what I said, the Word is the vision of God written down. Jesus becomes that very Word to help make it plain so you understand who you are. You understand who you'll be when you receive him and you come into the kingdom and you're brought into right relationship with God. You'll see your authority over the devil. You'll see your authority over sickness. You see your authority over sin. You see your authority in this world and your relationship with God. Jesus didn't bawl and cry and beg God for his attention. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I know you hear me. Amen. When are we going to get to that place that you wake up one morning and say, good morning, God, I know you hear me, rather than always looking to your past to define your position with the Lord today, rather than just being in Christ? Why don't you, in service today, say, Lord, thank you for my forgiveness of my sins, and now I'm going to act like you hear me. Why can't we worship like God is hearing us rather than trying to worship like trying to get God to hear us? Amen. Are you hearing? Are you understanding this? And so it's the definition of who you are. Jesus put on the Word became flesh in order for you to see the vision made plain. And why is that? So that when you grasp that vision, you can run with it. You can run, and you can't run when you're always have one foot in your past. You have to be able to run with the vision. You have to be able to see it clearly, understand, I am recreated in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, understand, conceive. All things have become new. And I'm going to run with the vision of God for my life, what he sees over my life. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, speaking of Jesus, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I think about the word joy there, and I think for the joy set before him, what brought him joy was what he saw he was accomplishing in the cross. What brought him joy was the vision that he was paying for to bring to pass. He saw something so good and so great that it moved him from his throne in heaven to commit who he was in heaven, his authority and his riches and honor and all that stuff in heaven, and to come be born in the flesh as a child to walk on this earth, fully God, fully man, to take on ridicule and shame and abuse and challenge, to be crucified for our sin, not his, for our sin, to go through death, hell, and the grave, do all that because of a vision that he had in his mind. See, for the joy set before him, he endured all that. That's what I want to ask you today. What do you think was in his brain? What do you think was in his mind? Was it just forgiving you of sin? Or was it turning you into something else? Was it a matter of just fixing what you did last Friday night? Or was it recreating a vision over his children? Amen? An identity over his children. That they had been reduced and shrunk down to this mini version of who they truly are. And he was going to get back what he created in his original plan, in his mind, in his heart, when he first said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so what was he seeing on that cross? He was saying, by going through this cross, I'm going to get what I always wanted. I'm going to get my children standing and walking and living and looking and reflecting my image in the earth. And we think, sorry, go ahead, I'll let you clap. It's good for you to clap. Sometimes I get going on a train and I don't stop. So it gives you time to write or you're going to get carpal tunnel. I understand. So it's fine. It gives you time to write. But we do have healing after service. So really, it's fine either way. Listen, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We've got to start seeing what he saw that would make him do what he did. We think Christianity is here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and there's all the peoples. And we think, yep, that's all. Jesus came so that we would sit in church and miss football on Sundays. That's what we think. It's like, no, my friend. Jesus had so much more in mind than just you going to church on weekend. He was creating something on that cross. He was purchasing something on that cross. He had a vision. And please remove Christianity from the masses like it's this general, nebulous kind of group of people, Christianity, and start thinking about it like individual in people. You are a Christian. And so he saw a vision in your life. And you might say, oh, but I'm too old, or I'm, you know, a female, or I'm this nationality, or I'm from this economic group. You're qualifying yourself based on the eyes of the flesh again. And you're not seeing that he has a vision for your life, regardless of your outside flesh or circumstances. And because of what he saw in you, he endured that cross. And he was willing to do everything because of the size and the quality of what he has in his heart. And that's what I'm trying to help you receive today. Maybe you're something more than you thought you were. Maybe Christianity is something greater, and what God has done in you is a whole lot more than you've ever realized. And once you begin to realize who you are, you're realizing now that's why I need to be equipped, because it's not something that can be contained in just some little cute sentence. It's something I've become, and now I must be trained for, and I must learn how. I'm in a new kingdom now. I need to learn how this kingdom functions and how this kingdom works. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you getting anything out of this so far? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beautiful passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul's talking to the church of Corinth, and he's talking to them about this whole idea of image and what they are become, what they've become. Verse 17, Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit, this capital S, so it's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I'll read that verse 18 again, please. With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So I have a mirror up here. And I think what this verse is trying to communicate to you is when you behold in that mirror, it tells you very clearly what the image is in the mirror. It's not your fleshly image in the mirror. It's not all your excuses and reasons and failures and faults and disappointments and challenges of life and, you know, whatever's gone on. What is in that mirror is the image of the glory of the Lord, the image of God's glory. Now, we can look at it and say that's Jesus' image in that mirror. He is the radiance of his glory. He is God's glory in the flesh. We could say you are the image of Jesus in the earth and in God's eyes. When God looks at you, he sees you've been purchased and paid for, and you've been made one with him, so you look like Jesus to God. And the truth is, you look like Jesus to the devil as well. When are you going to start seeing that you look like Jesus to yourself? You understand that? When are you going to? The question is not when God's going to see it. God's already seen it. Not when the devil knows it. He's just trying to keep you from seeing it. You're the last one to seem to catch up with the reality of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross and what you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And so the image of Jesus is your image, the image of God's glory. That's your image. It's in the mirror. And you look in the mirror and you say, that's not me. But God's saying, that's how a mirror works. It's you. Who else you think's in that mirror? You understand what I'm saying? You don't look in a mirror and see somebody else. You see yourself. And the image that you are is the image of the glory of God. When God sees you, he sees something glorious. You understand? You are the work of God. You're the work of his hands. He makes glorious things. That's why when we think we're some like little nothing that's just forgiven of sin and just bad boys and girls and you learn how to behave and you're just a little bit of behavior modification or whatever, it's like that's not a glorious creation. That's just like this average creation. But what was the motivation, the joy that was set before Jesus, it was a glorious vision of what people were going to become if he was to go through all that, if he was to pay that price. Are you seeing that? He didn't do all this to make something small. And that's why when you see somebody pray a prayer, we think, oh, yep, they prayed a prayer. It's not that they prayed a prayer. If they gave their life to Jesus, they became something glorious. Amen. And on the outside, they may be poor. On the outside, they may not have a huge education. They may be this, they may be that. But we celebrate with the angels because the angels are celebrating in heaven because they know what that person's just become. Amen. We have to start understanding that people are becoming something glorious, not just praying prayers and checking them off the list. Like we got this many more to pray a prayer. No, this many more people became glorious. They stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light. They stepped out of their dead self into the living Christ. Amen. So that's the image. That's you, whether you can see it or not. And so by faith, sometimes you have to look at yourself and say, that's the image of who I am. Amen. Even after you mess up, you still look at yourself and say, God, forgive me for my sins, but I still know that's who I am in Jesus. I don't lay a hold of an old identity. I lay a hold of the identity you gave me by grace in the first place. Do you understand? You never earned the first time, so you didn't earn the next time. It's a work of the Lord in your life. You're something glorious in the mind of God. And the Bible tells us here that in that last portion of the verse, it says that you're growing from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And I love that because we're growing up in who we are in Jesus. We're relearning. We're being re-educated. We're redefining our borders and our boundaries in Jesus and realizing who he's actually created us to be. And it doesn't matter what level you're in. You may be immature in the things of the Lord and it's brand new to you and you're still making some old mistakes and you still have some old mindsets that are being retrained and renewed and things like that. But it doesn't matter whatever level you're in. You will grow if you allow the Lord to help you grow. You'll continue to mature in the things of God. But in God's mind, it says you go from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Notice he never calls you anything less than glorious. So even though you might be a baby in Jesus and you might have all these stumblings and immaturities and stuff, in God's mind, he never calls you what you were. He calls you who you are. Now, you may continue to increase in the knowledge of who you are, and you're just going to go from one degree of glory to another, but God looks at you from the moment you give your life to him, you are glorious because you look like Jesus. Amen. And so if you say, or you look at yourself and call yourself anything less than glorious, then you're missing it because you're calling yourself based on who you were and what you did and what you were rather than understanding who you are. Now, yes, like I said, you might be in one degree of glory, but I love it that there's no glory, even if it's a one that we're just learning and stumbling through, it's still glorious because you are a work of God. And then the last line in that verse, again, it says that from one degree of glory to another, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that's helping us grow up in this image. So I don't want to layer upon you or place upon you a bunch of burden like, oh man, this is really deep and I don't know what to do with it. How do I make this all happen? No, this is what the Spirit of God is making happen in you. This is what God's leading you. There shouldn't be any stress about, okay, I got to make myself the glory of God. No, God made you his glory. It's just helping you figure out who you are. It's as easy as reading the dictionary and believing what it says is true. Amen. Okay, you missed that one. That's fine. You'll get it at lunch. Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to keep digging into this, trying to help you in these few closing moments. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul praying for the church of Ephesus. I want you to hear his prayer because it speaks very highly of this exchange that's happening right now, even with myself and you, and the challenge as a minister to help you. Again, it's because God shows by revelation what he's thinking, and then you're trying to help people see something that they don't see yet. And so what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23, he says, I don't cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is basically saying that I'm praying for this church in Ephesus. And this is what he's praying, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. That's understanding, seeing something. That's like revelation is like taking a curtain on a stage and pulling back and you can see what's on that stage. It's not something you are necessarily earning or learning. It's something where God like opens the veil and you're able to see what's available or what's there, okay? And so Paul is saying, he's saying that may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. And he goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power, which is not just his power. We always want to say, oh, he's so powerful, but his power, which is toward us. So it's not just this massive, powerful God out there, but all of that which is now being made offered and available to you because you have his undivided attention and you are connected to him in the most dear and intimate way. And so he has all this power available toward us who believe. And so Paul, I'm going to pause there for a second. He's saying, I am in intercession and I am praying that the church of Ephesus, that you beautiful people of Ephesus, that you would have a revelation of who Jesus is, and then you'd have a revelation of because of who Jesus is and who's made you to be, that you have an inheritance in him. And this inheritance is bigger than you're realizing, which is why I have to pray that you grasp it. Someone is praying that you understand the inheritance, because the inheritance is not something in the natural that you would naturally say, really, that belongs to me? Or the power that's available to you as a believer. It's not just a little drop of power. Every once in a while you get a prayer answered. No, there's an authority in your life. There's an access to the power of God, which is towards you who believe. But we as human beings consistently just look at our lives in the flesh and say, well, I don't look powerful. I don't look like I have an inheritance. I don't look like anything has changed. And so Paul is saying, I'm interceding so that you would be able to understand that God would give you eyes that would be enlightened to see this that's been made available to you. And then he begins to unpack what that power is because they weren't getting it. He says, these powers and these inheritance, these are in accordance with the working of his strength and his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age that is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, Jesus, as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus has authority over all things. We are his body. He's the head. We're his body. And we complete him, and we're the fullness of him who fills all in all. Talking again about who you are. You are not a separate species from Jesus. You're one with the Lord. Amen. But what I want you to see in this is Paul's trying to help them understand. I want you to know your inheritance. I want to know who you are in Christ. I want you to realize the power that's for you and towards you who believe. He goes, let me help you get it. I know. I'll help you realize that the same power that is available to you and that is toward you to succeed and win and become and anything that you need to do and accomplish God's will for your life, in case you don't know what power I'm talking about, it's the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the same power that you have access in your life. Not some other power, not some separate, less potent power. You have the same power that God demonstrated the power when he raised Jesus from the dead. And you realize that if hell could have done one thing in this universe, it would have been not let Jesus raise from the dead. But it couldn't stop it. And that's the same power that is available to you as a son or daughter. And it doesn't sit there and say, if you're the best one, if you've earned it more than anybody else, if you've prayed more than everybody else. He's saying, as a saint, as one with an inheritance, as one, you have great effectual power made available to you, and it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And then he goes on, and you know, he goes on to say, okay, they're still not getting it. Okay, it's the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. Let me define it a little more. The power that's available to you is far above any power on the earth. It's far above any principality that the earth will ever see. It's far above every other dominion that has ever been named in this age or in the age to come. Basically, it's the greatest power of all power. Are you understanding? That's what's been made available to you, the believer. And so Paul, and please don't misinterpret, the resurrection power means it's only power to raise the dead. Resurrection power is just the power of God. And one of the ways it demonstrated its power was raising Jesus from the dead. But it's also the same power that split the Red Sea. It's also the same power that fed the 5,000. It's also the same power that sets the demoniac man free. And the same power that gives you victory over sin and bondage is the same power that's made available to you to be a father, to be a mother, to be a believer, to do what God's called you to do as a missionary, as a church planter, as a business person in this world. It's the power to do the will of God in the earth. It's an unstoppable power of God. There is no principality. There is no dominion. There is no authority. Nothing that can say that they don't have to bow their knee to that superior power. There's no other higher power than that power. That's what's been made available to you in Christ, not because you earned it, not because you purchased it, but because of he earned it and he purchased it and gave it to you freely. Are you understanding this? In conclusion, let me share one more verse with you and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Paul saying, in referencing your former manner of life, lay aside your old self, which was being corrupted in accordance with the flesh and the lusts of deceit. And that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on your new self, which is in the likeness of God. It's been created in righteousness and holiness and of truth. This is where this like whole thing, whether you understand it all or not, it's fine. It's fine. But all that God's asking you to do today is one simple thing, and that's, would you please exchange your old self and your old mindset of who you were and exchange it for the renewed spirit of your mind of who he's made you to be. Just like taking off old clothes and dropping them on the floor. See, it's what it basically says. It says, lay aside that old self and how you saw yourself and how you limited yourself and how you defined yourself. Just take that you and drop it on clothes like on the floor. And then take on a new mindset, which is just do it by faith. Just do it by faith that the Lord says this is who I am. The Lord says this is my image. The Lord says this is his plan for my life. This is what is accessible to my life. And he just says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where the battle is, you know. It's not in your flesh. It's what you are accepting up here and what you are putting your faith in up here and who you're listening to up here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self. How do you do it? By being renewed in the spirit of your mind. By saying, okay, I receive the new me that you envisioned on the cross. That was so joyful, you endured it for me. I receive that vision. I may not understand the fullness of it, but by faith, I'm going to say what you said. That's who I am. And I'm going to stop saying what I was. I'm going to start saying who I am now in the Lord. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. not in an angel. You're not in the likeness of an angel. You're not in the likeness of any other created thing. You are a reflection of God's own likeness. You are His children. You are His body in the earth and in the life that you walk in and you live.
Thank you so much for watching our program today. We really hope it blessed you. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, today, if you're sitting there watching this program and you don't know where you stand with God, if you were to die today, you know, would you go to heaven? Would you not go to heaven? You know, we want to help you make sure. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, Jesus came for that very purpose. And so today I'd love to pray with you to call on the name of the Lord and make Him your God, to let Him forgive you of your sin and get in right relationship with Him. So if that's you today and you want to give your heart back to God or maybe to Him for the first time, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we know because the Bible says it, God heard it. We would love to help you any way we can in your walk with Jesus. And if you contact us through our website, let us know that you prayed that prayer, or call us at our church offices. We would love to give you some resources and tools to help you with your walk with Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to one of our campuses. Check out our website, look at our church locations and times, see which one works best for you. Thank you again for watching the program. God bless you. Have a great week.